The next Mishnah. If Miyun took place, they both are now mutter to marry each other's relatives, and she is also kosher to kahuna, since she's not considered a grusha. And if they want to remarry later, then that's also mutter. The Gemara says if, however, she gets a get from him, then she cannot marry his relatives, and she cannot marry a kain, because now she's officially a grusha by virtue of the fact that she received a get. Daf Kuf Tes, the Mishnah. If someone divorced his wife and then remarried her, and he dies, she is permissible to the yavam. Rebbe Elazar says it's usur to make yibum. And the Gemara says, according to Rebbe Elazar, yibum is usur because once, at one point, there was a time of isur, or possibly due to other reasons that the Gemara mentions. The next Mishnah. Two brothers married two sisters who were under the age of bas mitzvah with a ketushin derabanan, and one brother died, so there was no chalitza and there was no yibum. But if one was a gedayla, so if the ketana falls to yibum, which is now a zika midarabanan, this can't asur the sister who has a ketushin midaraisa. But if the gedayla falls to yibum, so does she asur due to the achay sisha or not? According to Rebbe Elazar, we teach the ketana to do miyin. According to Rebbe Gamliel, we wait till she's a gedayla. But according to Rabbi Yeshua, both are sent away, one via get and one via chalitza, due to the klal of yesh zika. The Gemara says that a person should cling to three things. One, chalitza. Two, greeting his friends. And three, hafaras nadarim. And he should distance himself from three things. From miyan, he should not take securities to be a shimer, and he shouldn't become a guarantor by signing shtaris. A person should take chalitza instead of yibam because of the din of Abishal. If a yavam does yibam not for the mitzvah, but rather for the purposes of noi, because the woman is pretty, or because he wants her money, then it's pegeya be'erva and it's karav lemamzer. If one pursues chesed and greets his friends, then he'll receive tztaka and kavod. Rabbi Yossi says that he only has the schar for learning Torah, a person only says that he has schar for learning Torah, but he doesn't actually do actions with it, then he gets no schar for learning Torah either. In other words, a person has to make sure that if he learns Torah, he has to make sure to do something with it. The Gemara says a judge, a dayan, should always pretend that there is a sword before him, ready to kill him, and Gehenim is below him. So he'll approach a judgment with a very serious attitude. And finally, the Gemara says a katana, who did not do miyan when she became a gedayla, but just went and married a second man. According to Rav, she doesn't need a get from number two. But according to Shmuel, she does. Daf Kuf Yud. Rav Ashi says if a person grabbed a woman from her husband, the Rabbanan can be eiker the relationship, and this marriage to number two is no good. The Mishnah. If someone is married to two ketanis with kedushei the Rabbanan, and then he dies, if bia is done to one yavama, it frees the co-wife from yibum. And the Gemara says, what about a chareshes, a deaf person? Can she do chalitza? According to Rav, she cannot. But according to Rabbah, she can if she was a chareshes all the way from before. Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. According to Reb Chisda, marriage to a chareshes is considered a partial kinyan. Masha'en kein, marriage to a katana is a suffix if it's a full kinyan or no kinyan at all. Reb Nechemya holds, if a bia takes place, even if it's a bia psula, it takes away the zika, which would require yibam. But according to the Chachamim, it doesn't take away zika. The next Mishnah. If someone was married to two yisaymes katanas, and the brothers did yibam to one of them, it doesn't passel the first one, since the zika of the second one is no better than the zika of the first one. Rebbe Elazar says, we show the ketana how to uproot her kedushin via miyan. And the Gemara says the halacha is like Rebbe Elazar. The next Mishnah. A yavam katan who made yibam to a yavama ketana, they should grow together, since a katan can't give a get, so now you really have no other etza. And the Gemara says, our Mishnah is not like Remeir, who holds that there is no yibam by a katan. Daf Kuf Yud Beis. At first they said that there are three women who can initiate a divorce and still get their ksuba money. Number one, a man was ma'anisar, if she's married to a kain. Number two, he doesn't have bia with her. And number three, she makes a neder not to have relations with anyone. But they changed this so as not to encourage this type of practice and said she must bring proof to these three issues if they exist, or he should be matir neder for her. And finally, the Gemara says, if she made a neder not to have relations with anyone, does this apply to a yavam also? Rav says it does not, and Shmuel says it does. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the 14th parak, parak Cheresh Shanisa. The Mishnah. A kedushin between a deaf man and a regular woman, or vice versa, the marriage is considered valid midrabanan, and a get can also be chal. But if she becomes a shaita later on, he can't divorce her, otherwise people will take advantage of her. And the Gemara says, the Chachamim were Mesakin Nisuin by deaf people because the odds are that they will live very well in harmony. But they weren't Mesakin marriage by a Shaita, since a person can't live with a snake in a basket. So how will one be able to live with a Shaita? A Katan, they weren't Mesakin Nisuin for, since when he'll become a Bar Mitzvah, he will be able to have Kedushin. So why should we rush to create that now? Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. However, a Katana, a female, can have Kedushin, and if she marries a Kayin, she can eat Truma, and she has a Ksuva. A Cheresh, however, doesn't get a Ksuva, since otherwise no one will want to marry her. The Gemara says there are five people who shouldn't take off Truma, and if they did, it's not considered Truma. A Cheresh, Shaita Katan, a person who is Tairim She'ena Shalai, and a guy who takes for a Jew. Finally, the Gemara says, according to Reb Yitzchak, according to the Torah, a Shaita can receive a get, even though she has no das, as long as she has enough das to protect herself. Otherwise, she cannot, so to protect her from people taking advantage of her. But a man can't give a get unless he has das. Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. Reb Yitzchak Bar Bisna once lost the keys of the Beis HaMedrash on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah. So they told him to bring some children to play, and they'll find the keys, and then bring them to him into the Beis Medrash. This is mutter, since if a child eats nevelas and treifas on his own, Bezdin shouldn't stop him, since he's not chayav in mitzvahs. But you shouldn't tell him specifically to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. And here we have a kasha. How can we allow a katan to do a malacha on Shabbos? We know that we say in Kiddushin, in the Pasuk, it says, "Uvayim hashvi Shabbos l'Hashem alaykecha l'sasa kol malacha ata uvincha uvitacha avtacha v'amascha." So we know you're not allowed to give something to a katan to do a malacha on Shabbos, the same way you're not allowed to give a malacha to an animal to do for you on Shabbos. So how is this Gemara saying that it's mutter? So the Achrayim answer that it's just like an animal here. We're mechuyev to see to it that the animal rests on Shabbos and that it doesn't do malacha for you. But if it does malacha on its own, for its own benefit, if it goes and it rips grass from the ground because it wants to eat, then you're not mechuyev to stop it. Same thing is true with a child. You're not lechatchila allowed to tell a child to do a malacha, but if the child wants to play something and he plays with something that's mukta and he's not a katan that's igiyah lechinuch, then basically he can do whatever he wants to do. You're not mechuyev to stop the child from doing that. Here we have a basic machlokes rishonim. Everyone agrees that when we're dealing with an iser daraisa, you're not allowed to give that lechatchila to a child to do on Shabbos, or in fact give a child anything to eat, which is an iser daraisa. The question is by an iser derabanan. According to the Rashba, an iser derabanan, a child is allowed to eat, or a child is allowed to do a malacha, which is an iser derabanan. Mashenkit, according to the Rambam, you're not allowed to have a child do an iser derabanan. And Rabbi Akiva Eger asks, can we allow a child under 9 years old, who is not, to bring a siddur for us to shul on Shabbos, carrying it in a Rosh Hashanah? The person is at home, he forgot a siddur in shul, he wants to give the siddur to the child, so the child should carry it to shul. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that you can't use this Rashba as a heter. The Rashba we mentioned before says if something is an iser derabanan, you're allowed to give it to a katan to do. You can't use this heter. Why not? Because the Ran says that this kula of the Rashba is only if it's the tzarech hakatan mamish. In other words, the child wants to play, so for the purpose, the benefit of the child can play and do an iser derabanan. But to ask them to do something for you, which is usur, in order for the something to be for our benefit, that you're not allowed to do. So in other words, carrying the siddur on Shabbos is really for our benefit. That you can't ask the katan to do. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says an interesting eitza, that what you do is you let him take the siddur to shul, so that when he comes to shul, you should give him the siddur and let him practice the aleph beis a little bit. So the aleph beis that he's reading is really for the child's benefit. Then after, once he does that, then you're allowed to use it to daven from. But the Ritva adds, in general, talking about the Rashba, that you can only rely on the heter of the Rashba periodically, once in a while, not on a regular basis. Because if you would allow this heter on a regular basis, the child would get used to doing this particular malacha, and later when he grows up, it would be hard for him to get used to not do it. And this is similar to what the Magen Avram says in Siman Shin Mem Gimel, but that's why we can give wine to a katan and a bris milah on Yom Kippur. Since it's only once in a while that it ever happens that a bris milah happens on Yom Kippur. So the child drinks wine that one time on Yom Kippur, and afterwards he's not going to get used to drinking on Yom Kippur because that type of thing only happens once in a yovel, right? But in a regular case, a child is not going to, every Yom Kippur, be able to drink wine because every Yom Kippur there's not a bris milah. So this whole heter, according to the Magen Avraham, he brings down, according to the Rashba, only applies if it happens periodically, not something that happens on a regular basis. The Gemara even says if a guy comes to extinguish a fire on Shabbos, we don't stop him, since he's not mechuyev in resting on Shabbos at all. So why stop him at all? But if a katan comes, we don't let him extinguish it on Shabbos, since for him, he has a tzivoy of shvisa also, like anybody else has a tzivoy of that. A child can nurse from a gaya or a treifa animal, even though they're an isser midaraisa. But you can't lechatchila feed him nevelos and treifas. Milk, we say, is so important to be mater, since without it, it's a sakana for the child. Here we also have, we could talk a little bit about chaliva, about milking a cow on Shabbos. Is that mutter or is it not mutter? According to all the Rishayim, it's also for a Jew to milk a behema on Shabbos, either because of mefarik, or because of dash, Rashi says, or because of teichen, which is what the Urim says, or memachek, which Rabbeinu Tam says. Others say maybe it's because of bairer. In any case, it's usur to simply do chaliva into an empty milking vessel on Shabbos. However, milking into a keli that already has food in it may be mutter, since we say mashke habala eichel ka eichel dami. So if you milk something onto food itself, it's not like you're stam milking, but rather you're improving the food. This is similar to the concept of squeezing a lemon on Shabbos, that we know it's usur to squeeze a lemon on Shabbos. However, to squeeze it onto sugar, that might be mutter, because you're only improving the sugar. It's mashka haba lo eichel ka eichel dami. It's like only making the sugar, giving a little bit of lemon flavor to the sugar. So that may be mutter. Also, it would be mutter to tell a guy to milk an animal on Shabbos, since although we say amiru la'akum is usur midrabanan on Shabbos, so how could you tell a guy to do this for you on Shabbos? But since if you don't milk the animal, it's tzar ba'alei chayim, therefore it would be mutter to tell a guy to milk the animal even on Shabbos. Finally, here the Gemara says that it's usur for anyone to eat blood, tumah, or shratzim, and this is even true for a katan. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the 15th parak, ha'isha shalom. As background, normally we say ein davar sheva erva pachas mishnayim. You need two edim for anything, especially when we're dealing with arayas. But if a husband is missing, we don't know whether he's alive or if he's dead. We say that one ed is enough, since we say mishumi guna hikilu be'rabanan, as we had before in earlier prakim. And the Mishnah says, if a woman and her husband went to Medinas Hayam, and they were happily married, and they went to a tranquil area, if she says, my husband dies, he died there, then we believe her. And she could be the Eid Echad. And she's allowed to remarry, or she's allowed to do Yibam. But if they weren't happily married, then we don't believe her, since really, she just wants to get out of the marriage. That's what she's trying to do. It's a biased opinion. Therefore, we don't believe her in that case. And if there's a case of war, then we also don't believe her, because she maybe didn't see him die, but is only speculating, probably, since there was war, he probably died if she lost track of him. Rabbi Yehuda says, we never believe her, unless she comes weeping and her clothes are ripped. Then it's a siman that, as a matter of emotions, she probably really did lose her husband. And the Gemara says, if she says he died out of starvation, it's like she says he died in war, so we can't believe her. If she says he died in a tornado, or the roof cave in, or a scorpion attack, then it's also like war, and we can't believe her, since she probably ran away out of fear and she didn't actually see him die. In fact, sometimes a plague can strike a town for 7 years, and if a person's time didn't come to die, then he's not going to die. So she can't make those types of assumptions. Therefore, we can't believe her. Daf kuf tes vav. If there was a fire, and she says there's a fire and he died, we can't believe her, since just like the miracle saved her, and she was able to run away from the fire, maybe he was also saved by the same miracle. The Gemara says sometimes if a woman has a migu, then we might believe her. If robbers attack a husband and a wife, as long as she didn't mamish see him die, we don't believe her, since the woman wouldn't have stuck around to see if he dies or not. Since a woman isn't afraid, and she always has her ammunition, she always says to herself, you know what, they won't kill her, but rather they're going to save her so they could do a maises nus on her later on. Therefore, maybe she didn't in fact see him die. The Gemara says, if an Eid Echad, a man, came and said a woman's husband died in battle, we believe him, since he would never lie out of fear for being exposed later on. De milsa de avida li gluye le mishaker. He's not going to lie, because he knows later on somebody will figure out that he lied, and he'll be exposed. The Gemara says Yitzchak, who was the Reish Galusa, and he was the son of the sister of Rav Bibi, and he was known as Yitzchak Reish Galusa, he was traveling to Aspanya, and he died. And the Edom came along and said that Yitzchak Reish Galusa died. The question is if we believe him or not. Because it's shayach that since the Edom didn't really know him, they just said to him, what's your name? And he said, my name is Yitzchak Reish Galusa. So it's possible that they really didn't know him, but they just heard his name. Maybe it's shayach that there's two Yitzchak Reish Galusas. And maybe the one that died is not the same one that was the wife of this particular person. And the one who died was a different one. Abaye says we need to be suspicious, but Rava says we don't concern ourselves with this possibility because it's really lo shchiach, and this is how we paskin. So if today an aide comes and says, Yitzchak, your husband died, we can assume that it's the correct Yitzchak, not that this person was really talking about a different Yitzchak. Tavkuf Tazayim. The letters of a shtar create a kinyan by simply handing the shtar to someone. You hand the shtar to someone, that makes the kinyan. The Gemara says, if the woman said to her husband, give me a divorce, and she says it in front of people, she says, we're finished together, then it's a siman that there was ktata, there was a lack of harmony in this marriage, before he left overseas. If a woman says, I was divorced from my husband, we believe her, since a woman wouldn't have the chutzpah to say that in front of her husband. So if she said that publicly, probably they were divorced. And finally, the Gemara says, if there was a big machlokes, then we don't believe her. The Mishnah. Beis Hillel says that we only believe a woman who says that her husband died if she came from that particular city and said that he died. According to Beis Shammai, she would also be believed if she came from a nearby city or any similar case to the city of Kotzer, which is mentioned here. But Beis Hillel retracted and later agreed to Beis Shammai. The Gemara then relates the specific Maisa Shahaya with the snake that led the Chachamim to this particular heter. The next Mishnah. If there was an Eid Echad or she claimed her husband dies, so Beis Shammai says she can remarry because we say Mishum Iguna Kilu Be'Rabbanan, and she's also allowed to collect Ksuva money. Beis Hillel says she can remarry, but she can't collect Ksuva money, just like brothers can't collect Yerusha money. Later, Beis Hillel was Maida to Beis Shammai. Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. The Gemara. If in this case, however, there is Yibam, according to Rav Chisda, the Yavam will get the Yerusha. The Gemara says if a woman barges into Beis Din and begins her request by saying, my husband died, give me my ksuba money, then we don't give her a ksuba, and we don't even allow her to remarry, since it appears that the only reason she came to testify that her husband died was to collect money, so she's probably not believable. And Mishumi Guna does not apply, because she's not interested in marrying. Isha Daito Mintsiva doesn't apply, also, since she didn't check out well. There was neither of these heterim can apply, because it seems that she's just coming for money, so we can't use the heter of Mishumi Guna, and we can't use the heter of Isha Daito Mintsiva. The next Mishnah. All people are believed to say her husband died as an Eid Echad, except for five relatives who are suspicious of lying. A mother-in-law, daughter of the mother-in-law, a tzara, a sister-in-law, and her husband's daughter. And the Gemara says, the daughter is not believed since she is upset that the wife will reap all the inheritance from her brother instead of her. So she's looking to make trouble for her brother-in-law. The Gemara says a daughter-in-law dislikes a mother-in-law since sometimes the mother-in-law reveals the secrets of the daughter-in-law to her son. The Gemara says, just like when a person looks into water, he sees his reflection, so too a person's heart tells the other what he thinks of him. Kamayim hapanim lepanim, kein leva adam la'adam. This is a pasuk in Mishlei. Just like the daughter-in-law dislikes the mother-in-law, so too vice versa. That's what this is referring to. Rashi explains here from the Gemara in Megillah Daf Vav, if a person works hard, the Torah he knows will reflect it. If he doesn't work hard, then it won't. Yigata matzasa. Mishnah. If one aid, Echad, says the man died, she remarried, and then a new aid comes along later on and says he didn't die, she doesn't have to leave the new husband. But if two aidim came later, then she must leave the second husband. If two came and said he died, subsequent aidim don't really matter anymore. And the Gemara says, in the first case, even if she didn't remarry before the new aidim came, she can still remarry, since according to Ula, an aid Echad establishes aidus here, just like two aidim establish aidus. Once the woman gets a heter to remarry, even if Edim came to refute the aid later on, she can still rely on the heter and remarry. The Mishnah. Two women who are tsaras came to Beis Din regarding their husbands. One said he died, one said he didn't die. The one who says he died is believed, and she can remarry. The one who says she didn't die cannot remarry. If they both said he died, one said he died naturally, but one said he was killed, Remeir says neither can remarry, because there's a contradiction here. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say they can remarry, since they both agreed that he died, so it doesn't really matter how they died, but both agreed that he died. If two independent Aidim came, one said he died, and one said he didn't die, then they cannot remarry. Daf Kuf Yud Ches, the Gemara. The general rule is, all co-wives, all tsaras, want to make tsaras for the other tsara. That's why we're superstitious about them. What about the fact that by making trouble for the tsara, she hurts herself? Because now not only did she make tsaras for the other tsar, but she can't remarry either. So the Gemara answers, V'tamos nafsha in plishtim. It's like Shimshon said, it's worth it for me to die if a lot of the plishtim would die also. So she's taking herself down with, that's fine, as long as the other person suffers too. The tzara figures it's okay for her to suffer since she causes pain for the other tzara, so it's worthwhile for her. Mishnah. If a woman went to Medinas Hayam with her husband and she said that he died, she can remarry and she can get the ksuba, but the tzara cannot. If she's a Bas Yisrael, according to Reb Tarfon, the tzara may continue to eat truma. According to Reb Akiva, she cannot. The Gemara says the halacha is like Reb Tarfon. The next Mishnah. If a man married one of five women and couldn't remember which one he married, and all five of these women said, he was the one who married me. According to Reb Tarfon, he gives all five a get, but the one ksuba he leaves for them to fight over. So he only has to leave one ksuba, and they fight over. According to Reb Akiva, he must give a ksuba to each of the five women. This same achleikus would apply if a person stole from one of five people, doesn't remember which one, all five say he stole from me, so the same achleikus here would apply whether he has to pay all of them or just pay one of them. The next Mishnah. If a woman goes with her husband and her son to Medinas Hayam, and she returns and says, my husband died, and then my son died, then she's believed, and she can remarry without Yibam or Chalitza. Since when she left, she was Becheskes Eina Zekuka Liyabam. She had a son at that point, because the son hadn't died yet, so no Yibam is needed. And she's now still Eina Zekuka Liyabam. She's also believed because we could say, Apesha Asar Hu Apesha Hiter. She didn't have to tell us that the son died. If she said the husband died, and we know she had a son, she wouldn't be Zokuk anyways. But if she says, first my son died, then my husband died, we're Chayshish, and she requires Chalitza, since we say, Shavya Nafshe Chaticha De Yisura. She made herself Asura Lashuk, since now she had no child before the husband died, so maybe she needs Chalitza, but of course, even though she can do Chalitza, she cannot do Yibam because it's a Safik. The Gemara. If someone sends a Shliach to give his wife a get, if it was done to pater her from Yibam, it's a suffix if it's good, since it may not be Zachin La'adam Shalai Befanav. But if they're not happily married, it's still a suffix, since she still would prefer to be married. Because we say, Reish Lakish says, Tabla Mesef, Tandu Melamesef Armela. It's better to be married than to be alone. According to Abaye, even if the man is as small as an ant, there's still a chashivas to being married, because a woman would rather be called a married woman versus being a single woman. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin parak Tes Zayin, the final parak, Ha'isha Basra, from Daf Kuf Yud Tes, the Mishnah. If a husband and tzara went overseas, and she was told that he died, she cannot marry anyone until she finds out if the tzara was pregnant, i.e. to determine if she needs Yibam or not. And the Gemara says, the Rabbanan hold that we follow a rive over a chazaka if it's Isa Likaman. It's in front of our eyes, i.e. like 10 meat stores. We don't know if it's, the meat came from a kosher or a treif store. But if it's Ruba de Lesa Kaman, it's a statistical majority, it's not something that's in front of us, like here. Most women who are pregnant have a child, as the Gemara says. Then we would not hold of Rov, the Mishnah. Two women married to two brothers, and each says her husband died. They both cannot remarry, since we're afraid, as we've learned, that each is trying to make trouble for the other. Daf Kuf Chaf, the Gemara. Even though Tzara A, by hurting Tzara B, also hurts herself, she doesn't care, because she has the satisfaction of hurting the other tzara, Thomas Nafshi in Plishtim, as we mentioned before. The next Mishnah. An edus that a specific person is dead is only valid if the aid saw the dead person's face and nose after he died, to confirm clear identification. One may testify only up to 3 days after death, since the body decomposes after that, so it's hard to identify. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it depends on weather conditions and the place, because every situation is different. So there's no exact 3 days, but it depends where and when it is. And the Gemara says, the forehead is also essential to positively identify a dead person. The Gemara says it's questionable if simanim are a din midaraisa or midarabanan. People are afraid to lend out rings or wallets because someone will copy the signature of the seal and they'll be able to steal a lot of things from them. A person cannot be metama until he actually mamish dies, not if he's almost dead. And finally, the Gemara says a person cannot testify on another person's death if he just sees him hanging, since he may survive. If, however, the majority of his throat was slit, we can assume he died and she can remarry. Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, the Mishnah. If someone fell into water, she can't remarry because he probably came up somewhere and survived, according to Reb Meir. According to Reb Yaisi, we do allow her to remarry as long as all shores are visible, so we can assume he didn't come up. And the Gemara says, Rav wanted to put a Talmud into Cherem since he disagreed with a Psak, but Shmuel decided to first ask him some questions. Rabbi Akiva once fell into water and was saved by a board from a shift. From a ship. The Gemara says if someone fell into a lion's den, we can't assume that he's dead. But if he fell into a pit of Nechashim Vakravim, we can assume that he's dead. if he fell into a Kivshan Aisha furnace, we can also assume that he's dead and his wife can remarry. The Gemara says the fast of Esther was for 3 days and three nights. It's interesting to point out that most Midrashim hold it was just for 3 days. Nights were not included. A person cannot be with a lack of sleep for more than 3 days. The zchus of tzedakah in a particular thing prevents a person's children from getting hurt. The Mishnah. Even if the edus regarding Mises Abal was just aid me pi aid, or just children talking about the death with an idle conversation, it's enough as edus to allow her to remarry. And the Gemara says, a guy is not believed as edus unless the edus was purely incidental. Daf Kuf Chaf Beis, the Mishnah. Edus seen in moonlight is also good. It doesn't have to be seen by daylight. And death heard via a voice, via a bas kol, is also good. The Gemara says, according to Beis Shammai, we don't say edus from a bas kol. But according to Beis Hillel, as we see here, we say Masiyan Alpi Basko. Today, interesting to point out, since we don't understand what a Basko really is, we can't rely on one to allow a woman to remarry. The Mishnah. There's a machlokes if we believe in Eid Achad to allow a woman to remarry. And the Gemara says, if we do believe in Eid Achad, we believe a woman too who comes to testify regarding her dead husband, even according to Rabbi Akiva, who is normally Machmer by Eid Achad. The Mishnah. As brought in a Maisa here with an innkeeper, a Pundikis, a non-Jewish woman was believed that a Talmud Chacham died, since she brought out the man's bag and Sefer Torah. And the Gemara says, which was incidental, Edus, as we say, Messiah Lefi Tumai. The Gemara also says that she had quality Edus because she began by weeping when she saw them. Then she said her Edus, so it's believed, since Messiah Lefi Tumai. The Gemara says it's a machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon if Edus from an Eid Echad needs Drisha the Chakira. And finally, this Masechta concludes with the famous Meimra, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Bichanina, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, Shenemar, V'chol Banayich, Limud Hashem, Rav Shalom Banayich. Talmidei Chachamim increase peace in this world, as it is said, and your children will be students of Hashem, and they will have peace. If you recall from when we learned Masechta's Brachas, this particular statement of Rav Elazar was also the closing line of that Masechta. In fact, it is also the closing line of Masechta Nazir and Masechta's Krisis. So in all, this Meimra is the Hadron for four different Masechtas in Shas. The obvious question is, why do these four Masechtas end with this Meimra, and what is the common denominator between them? The Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita, in a Siyam on these four Masechtas, Masechtas Banayich, Brachas, Nazir, Yavamas, Krisis, explain that these four Masechtas revolve around the notion of making Shalom, peace between two different beings. How is that so? Masechtas Brachas, which speaks about Kriyishma, Tefillah, and Brachas, whose purpose are to bring one closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all aspects of his or her life, create Shalom ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'adam. Yavamas, whose Indian focuses on the fact that one needs to be Hakim Shem Achiv Vaya Shalom Alachayim, the Yavama, and Chesed Shalamis, the dead brother, creates Shalom ben Adam l'chavere. Nazir is for the purpose of creating Shalom ben Ish l'Ishtai, since we know that the reason in Parshas Nasev that the Parsha of Nazir is samach to the Parsha of Saita, is so that when a man sees a situation of Saita, he'll take himself away from Yayin, and keep himself away from his nus, and therefore becoming a nazir. And finally, krisis is to create shalom ben guf l'neshama. So when a person does a major avera, the misa of karis is necessary to create shalom with the neshama as a kapara. So this is why these four masechtas end with this meimer. The connection between these four, as the Rebbe explains, is for a fifth shalom, the most important shalom of all, shalom ba'olam. This is accomplished via the talmidei chachamim who learn Torah, via the Torah that they are marbim shalom ba'olam. As the Rambam says in Hilchas Chanukah, "Kol haTorah nitna b'shvil shalom ba'olam," meaning that via learning the Torah, there will be shalom between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world, which will keep shalom in the world. And on this note, we should have the schus of seeing shalom throughout our lives, and be zeicha to be as Gael Tzedek b'mehei Rav Yameinu. Amen. Hadron Allah, Masechta Yevamos.